Well, children of the Most High God, the message you're about to hear is the message I preached yesterday before yesterday, Sunday, at our fellowship here in Jacksonville. It's entitled, Flaws in Our Faith. Be blessed as you listen. Before we get to the rest of the text, open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's read that again. Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What else really matters? Jesus facing the cross. Not my will, but thy will be done. His will. Come with me now to Hebrews chapter 11. And while you're getting there, let me remind you that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now you've got to ask yourself, in what way do I demonstrate my faith? Do I on a daily basis demonstrate my faith? Do I demonstrate my faith in obedience? In every expression of my life without faith? When was the last time you exercised faith? And do you know the last time you exercised faith? When was the last time that you did not exercise faith? When the Lord was prompting you to exercise faith? In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Let me go to Ephesians chapter 2 first, though. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I've got to tell you going into this message that I resisted preaching it. I resisted coming here to teach it because there were a couple other places I thought I'd like to go. And I thought, this is so simple. And yet when you examine it, it's a lot deeper, I think, than most of us ever really comprehend, ever realize. When we talk about faith, you were not born with faith. You were not born with faith. Faith is a gift from God.
Amen.
Faith is a gift from God. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the individual. You receive the gift of faith to be born again. You were born dead in your trespasses and sins.
Yep.
It's that simple. Yep. We were all born dead in our trespasses and sins. So how does a sinner engineer faith? How does a sinner work up faith? No, you receive faith as a gift. God gives you a measure of faith to believe, a measure of faith to receive. Now, that's the seed faith. You receive the seed faith, and now you have to develop faith. He implants faith in those who will receive faith. God is not willing that any should perish.
No.
The Word of God tells us that. He knows and has known before the foundation of the world who would and who would not believe and receive. They're called the elect. In Scripture, they're called the elect. Who are the elect? The elect are those that God in His omniscience knew before the foundation of the world would be willing to be willing to be born again. He knew who would and who would not be willing to receive faith. Who would not receive faith. So, faith is a gift. He gives you the faith to believe. And then once you are given the faith to believe, that faith has to grow. That faith has to develop. And that faith is at a different level in everyone in here this morning. We're all at different levels of growth in our faith. And all of us, no matter what level we are, we still have a higher level we can attain to. Yeah. You'll never quite reach the very top of faith, if you will. And our faith is being developed day by day by day. As you submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, your faith is continually being developed. Small bit here, little larger bit there. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, beginning there, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. Not knowing whether he went. Hebrews 11:9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise and in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The scripture tells us, in ample scriptures, that though we have faith, we have flaws in our faith. The Word of God says if you say you have no sin, you're wrong.
Hello.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. This morning, as I was sitting before the Lord, I was trying to think of every conceivable attitude, reaction, or response in my life that I knew to be contrary to the character of God, the Word of God, and once again, just put it before him in confession. But when I got through with all that, I said to myself, well, there's still sin there. Because the Word of God says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Amen.
It's a process. The faith of the heroes of our faith had to be developed. Abraham did not come out of the womb full of faith.
Amen.
Nor did David. None of the others. None of the heroes of our faith came out of the womb. You didn't come out of the womb as a hero of the faith. Nor did I. The faith of the heroes of our faith had to be developed. Your faith has to be developed. My faith has to be developed. And all of us are at a different level in our faith. But the idea is to continue growing in faith, believing God, receiving His Word, believing His Word, obeying His Word, and thereby growing in faith. And hear me this morning, hear me. Some of the tests you're going to face are very small. A simple thing, a very simple thing. Do this, do that, say this, say that, respond this way, respond that way. I mean, a simple, simple, simple thing. But then there are other tests that are larger, and they continue to become larger. You will be facing tests of faith so long as you draw breath. Understand that. Your faith is going to be tested one way or the other. Your faith is going to be tested. With every time you pass the test, you grow in faith. And then you're waiting for the next test. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith has to be developed from a seed. Seed faith has to be developed from a seed to maturity. And the scriptures give us ample evidence of those who had to do that. We have in the scriptures those who were tested. I mean tested. Now we look at Abraham as the father of our faith. But we're going to take a look this morning, and I tried to resist this because it seems so simple and yet it's not so simple. I tried to avoid it in some respects. But we have to look very carefully at how his faith developed. Abraham, how was his faith developed? Faith has to be developed from a seed. And from that seed is to come into maturity. How many in here this morning can say I have reached maturity in my faith? How many of us? So, the scripture gives us example after example after example of those who exhibited their faith. But how did they get there? We see in scripture ample evidence of those that walked in faith, moved in faith, grew in faith. But how did they get there? They were tested. The faith was tested. The faith was tried. The faith was tested. Your faith has been tested. And you failed some. And your faith will be tested tomorrow. And the next day. Faith testing comes at different levels. At different times in our lives. But it's always there. So you have been tested and you failed some of them, quite frankly. We all did. Sometimes we didn't even recognize it as a test of our faith. It may have been nothing more than a simple do this, do that, go here, go there, say this, say that, give this, give that. It could have been very simple. You see, unless you have spirit sensitivity, you will miss the whisper of the Spirit. And if you miss the whisper of the Spirit, you miss an opportunity to develop more Christ-likeness. You miss the opportunity to develop faith. In it all and through it all, you've been tested. At every level of your life in Christ, you have been tested. And at every level of your life in continuance, you will be tested. So you may as well get out of bed every morning of the world saying, I'm going to be tested today. I'm going to be tested. And then you're smart to kind of get on your knees starting the day out and say, I know the test is coming, Lord. And I'm asking you now for the anointing, for the sensitivity. The sensitivity to understand that this is a test. And the anointing to respond to the test the way you would have me respond in faith. In trusting you, Lord. Folks, it is a lifetime of being conformed to Christ likeness. It's that simple. It's a lifetime. Amen. Of being conformed to Christ likeness. You may have recognized it for what it was, and you may not have recognized it for what it was. But it was a test. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. And you're going to face more. You're going to face more tests. It's all part of spiritual growth. It's just part of your life as a child of God. It's all part of being a child of God and being developed as a child of God. Now, for example, we're going to look in Scripture. I'm going to prove what I'm saying to you by taking you to the Scriptures. Abraham is called the father of our faith. And I'm telling you, I tried to avoid this. In order for faith to be developed, it has to be tested. In order for faith to be developed, it has to be tested. It must be tested. Your faith has been tested, and your faith will be tested. You have failed some of the tests when you didn't even recognize it was a test. And some you recognized it was a test, and yet you still failed it because you refused. You refused to comply. You refused to obey. Every test that you fail, you're going to have to repeat. You see, you can ignore or you can violate time after time, but you're going to have to face that same thing again. You ought to make up your mind, okay, I'm going to go ahead and meet each test of my faith, and I may not understand it, but I'm going to face it, and I intend to submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I intend to submit and surrender to the Word of God. I intend to submit and surrender to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to pass this test because I don't want to have to come here again.
Amen.
I want to come through the test. I want to pass the test and get that one behind me. Then move on to a greater test. Test that whacks you even more. The heroes of our faith did not start out as heroes of the faith. Now think about what I'm saying. When you're reading the Bible, and you read what men and women of God did, and you say, wow, that was an accomplishment. They started out the same place you do. Obedience. The first initial infantile steps of obedience. Believing and obeying. And it's a day-by-day process. Now, once again, Abraham is called the father of our faith. So, once again, Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. We're not told how God revealed himself to Abraham. You see, when I study these things, I say, okay, how has God revealed himself to me? And there's been any number of ways that God revealed himself to me. But I look at a man like Abraham. You see, I grew up in a home where they talked about the Lord. I grew up in churches where I heard about the Lord, and we sang the songs of the praise and worship and what have you. Abraham didn't have that advantage. Abraham was living in an idolatrous nation with an idolatrous father. Word tells us that. And we don't know how God appeared to Abraham. How did he get his attention? See, I don't know if you ever ponder those things, but I ponder those things. I say, okay, out of all of humanity, stop and think about what I'm saying. Out of all the mass of humanity, God looks down and sees a man called Abram. And God says to himself, if I may put it that way, I'm going to choose you, Abram. I'm going to manifest myself to you. I'm going to get your attention. What did God have to do to get Abram's attention? He's an idolater, living in an idolatrous society. How did God get his attention? Now, we know that with Moses, God spoke to him out of a burning bush. We have examples of how God spoke to the heroes of our faith, but with Abraham, we're not told. We're given no evidence whatever as to how God revealed himself. Now stop and think a moment. How did God reveal himself to you? Let me tell you how a lot of you in here grew up. A lot of us in here grew up just assuming God was because we were told that God was. We just accepted what we were told. And we grew up in that environment. And we grew up going through the motions, many of us, of worship, praise, obedience, listening to the word, hearing the word. But that doesn't mean that we were saved at that point in time. We have those who have grown up in church, hearing the word, singing the songs, listening to the prayers, even praying themselves, only to find out later that all that was religious. but it wasn't salvation.
No.
I want a changed individual. It did not change me. It didn't change my nature. It didn't change what I was. It didn't keep me from being a liar, nor an adulterer, nor an adulteress. Listening to all of that, it just somehow didn't register. It didn't take fruit. Now, when it comes to Abraham, we have no idea how God revealed himself to Abraham, but I wish you would take a moment and think back. How did God get your attention? How did God get your attention? Was it a moment of fear? Was it a moment of stress? Was it just a quiet, silent moment between you and God? How do you know that you were sensitive to what God was saying? How did God reveal himself to you? For some of us, I look back across my life, and I see how God protected here and protected there and moved the pieces here and moved the pieces there and one thing or another. But that doesn't mean that I had come to a... The desire was there, but that didn't mean that the reality was there. It's one thing to have the desire for God. It's another thing to have the reality of God. To have the reality of God in the life. To have the reality of God leading and guiding and directing, enabling and empowering, protecting, leading, guiding, directing. We don't know how God revealed himself to Abraham, but I can tell you this. It was enough to catch his attention. Now, stop and think about what I'm saying. The man is in Mesopotamia. He's worshiping false gods. His father worshiped false gods. And somehow, all that mass of humanity, in some significant, spectacular, mind-boggling way, God revealed himself to Abram to the point that Abram was willing to submit and surrender and leave his home and go. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew who was leading, and he was following the one who was leading.
Amen.
There's so much we don't know here. But you see, he had to come through all these levels of spiritual growth in order to become the father of our faith. We kind of assume that Abraham just kind of came out of the womb a man of faith. No. He had his failures. He had his failures, just like we've had our failures. Abraham, his leaving Ur of Chaldees was a test of his faith. I mean, this is where he lived, this was his family, this is his home, this is where he did, this is what he did. And when God said leave, God didn't tell him where he was taking him. God didn't say, this is where I'm going to take you, this is what I'm going to do with you. In some way, God spoke to him and said, leave here and go to a place I'm going to show you. And the Word of God says Abraham obeyed. He obeyed, going out, not knowing whither he went. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. You see, there came famine after he left home. He left Ur of Chaldees. And he was just wandering, meandering here and there. Wherever God was leading him, he was willing to go. And he finally gets to this place that he thinks he's going to call home. And there's a famine. And he's driven down into Egypt. Now, he had quite an entourage with him. His possessions were not small. And we gather from the scriptures that he had a fairly good-sized complement of those with him. But he went down to Egypt. But he's approaching Egypt. He thought, well, he looked at Sarah. He says, you're a good-looking woman. And he says, we're going into foreign country here, and if the leader of that country sees you and wants you for his own, he will take you. So we'll do this. We'll lie. We don't like to think of Abraham as a liar, but he did. He lied about his relationship to Sarah. She's my sister. Well, she was his half-sister, but she was his half-sister, not by his mother, the original wife of his father, but obviously his mother had died, and obviously his father had remarried, and obviously this child, she, was born of this second marriage. Now, she is his half-sister, but he has married his half-sister. Now they're down in Egypt. Is this getting kind of complicated for you? Now they're down in Egypt, and he says, you're a good-looking woman. And he says, if Pharaoh wants you, he can take you. I mean, he's boss. So let's just tell him that you're my sister. And so they did. But it was found out. The lie was discovered. Abraham, sure enough, he was right. He was right. She was taken into his harem. And he gave gifts to Abraham. He enriched Abraham because he's taken his sister, which he didn't know was also his wife. So he gives him gifts. So Abraham's on his way to being a rich man. But then the day came that the lie was discovered. Now, we understand this. Pharaoh took her and placed her in his harem. He'll get to you later. But God has protected and preserved so that he did not go into her while she's in the harem until God revealed this whole thing and brought it to fruition. So then it finally realized that Pharaoh realized that she was a married woman and she was married to him, and he was angry. He had given gifts. He had given a dowry to Abraham. Then he kicked him out of the country and said, leave. You say, well, you're supposed to learn from your mistakes. He didn't learn that well. Because he leaves there, and we find him doing the same thing again. In verse 20 of Genesis 12, so Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. But then we get to Abimelech. You know, I never realized so much of this fell in line like this. As long as I've been in the scripture, I've never pulled all this together quite like this. He leaves Egypt. Now he runs into Abimelech. And he says to his wife the same thing he said before. They're going to take a look at you, decide you're a good-looking woman, and he will take you for his wife. So once again, we will tell them that you are my sister. So they did. Abimelech took her in. Sure enough, same thing all over again. When you look at this, you read the whole thing, you find out that Abimelech, God struck him. God showed up to him one night and says, you're a dead man. You're a dead man. Abimelech didn't know what was going on. So Abimelech was concerned about, why am I a dead man? Why am I going to die? You can read this for yourself in the scriptures. God said, because the woman that you've got that you've taken for a wife is already married. She's married to Abraham. So in the meantime, and we don't know what the length of time here was, but God had obviously moved in such a way within the kingdom and in the family that they realized they were under some kind of punishment. So they get together, they talk about it. You can read this for yourself in the scriptures. And they finally realize, well, part of it is because we know that we have now found out that this woman that I was going to take as my wife and put her in my harem over here, she's married to him. He lied to us. We got to take her back to him. Folks, when you look at Abraham and what he went through in his walk with God and how God prepared him, and the mistakes that he made, the sins that he committed, he wasn't flawless. The father of our faith was not. We have a repetition. We got the same thing happening again that happened in Egypt. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 3, and God said to Abimelech in a dream by night, you're a dead man. How's that?
That's so scary.
For a conversation opener. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you're a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Well, once Abimelech finds out what's going on and that he's wrong and that Abraham had lied to him too, the father of our faith had lied, he gave gifts to Abraham, and then gave him freedom in the land. See, Abram wasn't settled yet. He's moving around, trying to get the mind of God, the heart of God, as to where he's to settle. So Abimelech You know, Pharaoh drove him out of the country. Pharaoh said, you can't stay here. You lied to me. You deceived me. Send him out. Now here, Abimelech says, you can stay in the country. Move around anywhere you want to. And that's exactly what he did. So Abraham, like ourselves, the point I'm making to you at this point in time, Abraham, like you, like me, had to come through a series of tests. You have come through a series of tests. Some of them you passed. Some you haven't. You'll repeat them. But you come through a series of tests that tested your faith. Will I obey God or will I not obey God? And each and every one of us have to have our test, our faith tested. Each of us. I do, you do. Understand this. Please hear me this morning. I'm trying to make this so real on the radio. Do you realize that every preacher in every pulpit in the nation came to the pulpit with a load of baggage? Every member of the praise team came into the praise team with a load of sinful baggage. Everybody walking through the doors into the church came into the church with a load of sinful baggage. When you realize that we all came to Christ, but when we came to Christ, yes, we were born again in a moment. Yes, in that moment we were adopted by God. Yes, we become a child of God. Yes, we became a believer priest. Yes, we became a soldier of the cross. But we had so much garbage in our lives that still had to be worked out. And I think some people go into church thinking, well, I got saved, I'm good to go. No, you're just now starting the process of sanctification. Hello. And the process of sanctification is that I've got to come become increasingly more Christ-like every day of my life. I've got to become increasingly more Christ-like every day of my life. Amen. It's a process of sanctification. Just because you come through the door of the church doesn't mean you walk in here clean. Listen, you came out of the womb. I understand that I hesitated to bring this. You came out of the womb, many of you, if not all of us, with the sins of the fathers in the spirit, in the nature. Hello. The sins of the fathers in the bloodline. And the whole process of sanctification is understanding and realizing everything that's in me that's unChrist-like has to come out. And I came out of the womb, and I don't know what the sins of my fathers were, but I know this according to the Word of God, and I can count on this from the Word of God that I brought the sins of the fathers out with me. Now I've got to come against those sins of the fathers, and I've got to get victory over them, and I've got to submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And in doing that, pause for a moment. Everybody in here is at a different level of spiritual growth. And you have to understand that the battle is raging for your mind. The battle is raging for your will. The battle is raging against you every day of the world. And sometimes it's so subtle, you don't even realize it's a battle. Amen. But it's a battle. All he wants is for you to submit moment after moment to his prompting, to his suggestion to the mind, thereby giving him legal right to operate in your life and compromise your walk with God. Abraham was no difference. He had to come through his test of faith just like you do, just like I do. We all have to come through further tests of faith. We have come through tests of faith. I was going to wait till I got to the end of the message, but I'm going to say it now. Once I finally submitted and surrendered to the ministry, and I didn't want to, I fought it, I resisted it for years. I fought it. And I remember the morning I was going down to renew my license because I could make money. I was making money. And I got partway down the stairs, and the Lord said, go back and burn your license. And the last thing I wanted to do was burn my license. That was my ticket to advancement into money. I went back upstairs and I called Sharon in. And I said, you better pray with me. I think the Lord is telling me to burn my license. And I didn't want to burn my license. But we knelt down in front of the fireplace and I laid my license on the fireplace. And I burnt my license. I knew then I was starting to burn my bridges behind me. Now stop and think about what I'm saying to you. There have been those moments in your life when you had to make a conscious decision, I'm going to give this up. I'm going to give up this practice. I'm going to give up this habit. I'm going to give up this pursuit. Whatever it may have been, I'm going to have to give that up if I'm going to walk with Him. If I'm going to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, if I'm going to walk in submission and surrender to Him, I've got to give this up. I can no longer be a part of that. I can't be a part of that. I can't be a part of that. That has got to become a part of my past. It's got to go into the blood. It's got to be forsaken. I've got to walk away from it. And some of you to this day are still struggling with things that He wants you to give up if it's nothing more than an attitude.
Hello.
And sometimes it's nothing more than an attitude. Stop and think about it yourself. The greatest test was yet to come. We've all come through tests. Abraham came through tests. We've come through tests. And for some of us, the greater test is yet to come. I see in Genesis 15, and that's an awesome chapter. If you're not careful, you read Genesis 15, just kind of skirt through it. No. Abraham was trusting God. Abraham was believing God. Abraham was following God. And yet God had promised him a child, and the child is not here yet, and God has blessed him. But the one thing he wants is that child. Everything I own, God, is going to go to my servant here. I don't have a son. You promised me a son. I don't have a son. And God, in the 15th chapter of Genesis, God told him the animals to kill, to be offered as a sacrifice, what birds to use. Hear me. And then the word tells us that a deep sleep came on Abram. He wasn't really conscious. He was sort of in it and out of it. And then the Spirit of God came down as a smoking furnace. And those pieces of that sacrifice that Abram had laid out, he'd cut the animals half in two. He laid the birds over here. And that smoking furnace came down. Here was God symbolically manifesting himself as a smoking furnace. And that smoking furnace passed between the pieces of that offering. And in doing that, he was making a covenant with Abraham. He was making a covenant that he himself was manifesting the covenant and his answer to the covenant. He was making the covenant. He was responding to the covenant. He was assuring Abraham, I'm going to answer the covenant. I'm going to fulfill the covenant. And all you've got to do is just wait. Sometimes that's the hardest things we have to do. Sometimes waiting is the hardest thing we have to do. 99 years old. Now, Abram was 75 years old when God first showed up. But then he was 99 years old. And God shows up again and renews the promise. Renews the promise of the son. 99 years old. Abraham had said to him, when I die, everything I've got is going to go to this servant of mine. I have no posterity. I have no son. No. What you have, Abraham, and what I've blessed you with is not going to that servant. It's going to your son. You're going to have a child. So Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. And they have the child. God kept his word. When you get to Genesis chapter 15, it's an awesome, awesome chapter. I don't know how God's revealed himself to you. I don't know the different ways that God has revealed himself to you. He's revealed himself to me in different ways at different times. But I don't know how he's revealed himself to you. And there have been times that God was trying to reveal himself to you that you were not sensitive to the fact that he was trying to reveal himself to you. And there will be in the future. Which is why you try to remain Spirit sensitive. Because I've told you so many times, it's just a little breath against your spirit. Not a shaking, not a yelling, not a grabbing, just a little brush of the spirit against your spirit. If you're not careful, you will miss it. Once again, Sarah was 90 years old. He was 100 years old, and they had the child. Now, in the meantime, you recall that she had said to him, look, I can't produce a child. Go into my handmaid, Hagar, and have a child by her. And he did. We get Ishmael through that. You recall that. Now, Ishmael's about 13 years old. And now we're going to have the son. And there was conflict in the house. And so he had to be cast out. She had to be cast out. But she was made a promise, and God has fulfilled that promise. I'm kind of accelerating this a bit because I want to bring you to this. Then came the day of the final test of Abram's faith. I say the final test, the biggest test. There came that time when God told Abram, okay, take your son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice to me. Offer your son Isaac as a burnt offering. Which means he's got to be killed, put on the altar, burnt to ashes. The son of the promise? But God, you promised me this son. This is the son of the promise, and now you're telling me to kill him and burn him to ashes? This is the son of the promise. Will you obey me? Here's what happened. Abraham, way down deep in his spirit, said to himself, I'm going to obey. At all costs, I'm going to obey because I have found that God is faithful. He cannot lie. He fulfills his word. And so, understand this now. He is aged. And his son is not that old. And they go up the mountain and his son says, Dad, where's the offering? God will prepare an offering. God will provide the offering. You just come along. So they go up there, and folks, get this. They go up there, and Abraham, they gathers the wood. He sets everything for the fire, gets everything ready. Dad, where's the offering? Son, you're the offering. You're the offering, son. I'm going to kill you. And I'm going to burn you to ashes. Now remember, as best we can tell, his son was at that time perhaps in his late teens, early 20s. Abram was over 100 years old. His son could have handled him physically. But it says something about his son too. That his son says, well, okay, Dad. If that's what God has told you to do, if he's told you to kill me and burn me to ashes, here am I. So he allowed his dad to tie him. His dad prepared him for the offering, laid him down and raised a knife, fixing to kill him when God stopped him. Never mind. I was testing your faith, Abraham. If you're going to be the father of the faith of the faithful, I had to test your faith. And you've passed the test. So now, look over there. And God showed him an animal that could be used for sacrifice, caught in the brush. He went and got the animal. He cut his son loose. But you see, we read that, we look at that in the scripture, and it speaks volumes as to Abraham's obedience, but also speaks volumes about his son.
Yes.
Willing to be slaughtered, willing to be offered sacrifice. Genesis 22:1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here am I. He said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place to which God had told him. All of this speaks to Abraham's faith. It speaks to Abraham's faith and obedience. But it also speaks volumes about Isaac's faith and his obedience as well. Now, let me ask you this. What is it in your life that tests God's faith? What is it? What is it in your life that tests your walk with God? What is it you're not willing to walk away from in obedience to His Word? What is it you're not willing to sacrifice in obedience to His Word? What is it you're not willing to do in obedience to His Word? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And each of us, if we take the time to examine our lives, we will find out that your faith has been tested. Your faith is going to be tested. And I'm trying to tell everybody in the radio congregation, the test of your faith is still coming. And they're going to get bigger and bigger tests. It's in front of us, folks. I'm watching subtle changes. I'm watching subtle changes here and there that speak of other things to come, because if it's not faced here, it will continue to follow. You're living in a world full of change. You're looking at a world full of change in the nations of the world. And you're looking at changes that's going to continually, and here's the key as I start wrapping this up. How many times have I said to you, God has turned all of His work over to the church? He's turned it all over to us. It's up to me. It's up to you. It's up to us to be salt, to be light, to be intercessors, day by day by day by day. To go before the kingdom of God on behalf of the kingdom of God in this nation. To lift up this nation and the nations of the world. How many times have you prayed asking God to send anointed witnesses into those lands that have never heard the gospel? And how many times have you prayed asking God to neutralize, because we know the end times. When was the last time you prayed asking God to neutralize the power, authority, and influence of those who are the agents of Satan in the nations of the world, who are in positions of leadership? When was the last time that you prayed asking God to neutralize the power and the authority of those who are the agents of Satan in positions of power and authority in this nation? And in the nations of the world. They're all there. At the city level. At the county level. At the state level. At the national level. At the federal level. You have to understand that Satan has agents and every expression of life, including the religious life of this nation. He has his servants. He has his spokesmen. And so much of the church is oblivious. Oblivious. And not give themselves to intercessory prayer, to godly, holy living and intercessory prayer. Your faith is going to be tested. I told you when mine was tested about, do I give up my license? Do I submit and surrender my license? You've been there. You've been tested. You, the pastor, failed. You're going to be there again. You'll either pass or fail. You may be there tomorrow. You've got to be sensitive to that whisper of the Spirit of God against your spirit. Do this, do that. Go here, go there. Be this, be that. You're going to be tested. And there will come a time you'll have to make a stand. We've all been there. If you haven't been there, you're going to be there. There's going to come a time in your life that you're going to have to make your stand on nothing but the Word of God. You need to be sensitive to that. And you start out with a little obedience here, obedience there, obeying this, obeying that. And the test will come a little bit larger, a little bit stronger. More is at stake. More is at stake in your obedience. But as you come through the test, that prepares you for the next test. So understand this. You're just being prepared for eternity.
Amen.
You're being prepared for eternity. Thank God that you've been chosen.
Yes.
Thank God that you are being prepared for eternity.
Amen.
Thank God that you will be ruling and reigning with Him in eternity. But I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm not going to wait till I get to eternity to rule and reign. I'm going to rule and reign in the nasty here and now.
Amen.
By going before the throne of God day after day after day in intercessory prayer.
Yes, sir.
Heavenly Father, Lord, as best I know my heart, I have preached what you gave me to preach to them, and I was reluctant to do so. As you know, I resisted. I resisted this message. And I came into this message, Heavenly Father, simply wanting to explain, helping others understand more clearly who you are and all that you are. And that the fathers of our faith, all the heroes of our faith, had to come through the same levels we come through.
Amen.
Whether it was Abraham or whether it was David, whether it was Peter, whether it was Paul, whoever it was, the heroes of our faith, we all had to come through the levels of testing and trial. And Father, I'm asking you today, in this congregation, raise up those who will meet the next test, trusting you, believing you, praising you, and face the test face on and come through the testing in submission to your lordship and come out the backside of the testing rejoicing in the Lord. They may be scarred, may be bruised, and may be battered, but bring them through the test, whatever that test may be, whether it's emotional, spiritual, physical, financial, marital, whatever it may be. Bring them through that test in which they have to submit and surrender to your lordship, and help us each, every day of the world, become stronger in the Lord and the power of your might. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any questions? That clear? One question. Roselle?
Not so much a question, Dad, as it is, I'm sure glad that you lost that battle.
Come up here a minute. Come up here. Now say it to the whole congregation from up here.
I just wanted to say that to you. I'm so glad that in that battle and resistance that you had toward this message that you lost and we won, because I believe that every person here needed to hear what was shared this morning. I think it was a very, very timely message. So praise God that he won. You lost, but we won. Get it?
Close it with prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, Father, I want to praise you for your goodness. As Brother Quinn prayed this morning, he said you have been faithful all his life. I believe that is true within this congregation for many of us.
Yes.
Father, I want to thank you for your word and all the details and constructs of your word. It really is a living word, Father, because you have unveiled some things that we can take a closer look at your word. See how all these things work together, how that our life has been impacted by the obedience of a guy that we call the Father of Faith. And we may even wonder how so, but this morning, Father, you have provided us with some answers, and it just makes us better individuals when we realize the challenges of Abraham's faith. He was tested. Was it uncountable for him Yes. Was it faith stretched? Yes, it was. But we have valued because of his obedience, and we have valued also because of the obedience of our pastor.
Amen.
And Father, I want to thank you publicly for the message that you have given him. I want to thank you for all through the years how you have preserved him. You've protected him.
Yes.
And Father, he is a living witness that just because you get up in age don't mean you have to find a place to go and sit. But rather, Lord, you can be used by you, because when it comes to age, it don't matter. It's the spirit within an individual. And so we thank you, Father, for this message this morning. My prayer is that as we go our way, that this message would linger in our mind, that we would further explore it, that we will look at it and gain even more insights. Holy Spirit, fill, and we see things much clearer as a result of the living word. We bless you, we honor you, we praise you, we reverence you, and we do it all to the glory of God, in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.